We were just talking about Coinbase's pending earnings and cryptocurrency regulation. It's a hot topic right now, of course, because there was an amendment introduced as part of the infrastructure bill that it would have sought to more narrowly define who's affected by some new reporting requirements. That amendment, though, was defeated in Senate negotiations. Let's unpack what all of this means for the industry. And Favre is here with us now, COO at Oasis Labs, which is a smart contract company that uses the blockchain. Thank you so much for being here. And I have to admit, I am trying to understand all of this, as I think obviously members of Congress are as well. Could you sort of explain to us, as the regulations in the bill stand, and of course there could be changes, that's always the caveat in Washington, how would it affect not just the cryptocurrency trading industry, but your industry, which doesn't involve currency strictly, but is more blockchain and software based?
Yeah, so I'd say obviously there's been a lot of movement on the Hill in the last week to try to better define this. But unfortunately, it seems that none of it has succeeded. So the original language will move forward in the infrastructure bill. And I think the high level here is it's just very vague. The way that brokers are described in terms of who can be taxed and who is a broker is very broad to include anyone from a software developer that may produce open source code in the industry to smaller players who may be running the network themselves. And so I think the biggest implication that this has is that what we're finding is restrictions and requirements, if interpreted by the IRS in certain ways, that would extremely limit the ability of the industry to exist in the U.S. It would require taxation on individuals that in a way that is not even possible. It would require people to send 1099s to people that right now are anonymous and don't exist on the network, or that you don't have a direct relationship with. And by design, that's how a blockchain is built. It's decentralized. No one owns it. By design, you have peer-to-peer transactions where you don't have a middleman broker in the same way. So I think, one, it's very hard to implement from a technical perspective. And two, it really blocks a lot of the development and innovation that can exist in the future. The last thing I'd say is I think many in the industry in the U.S. are very happy and welcome and open to paying taxes. Certainly many are now, but open to a broader set of systems. But this particular language is both vague and clearly does not represent or was not written by someone who understands how the technology works. And that's really where the problem lies.
Well, so we didn't get this amendment through in this bill. Presumably it's language that folks within the industry are happy with and could make its way through as a freestanding bill or could fit into something else. So I'm curious what exactly in the language that was proposed and that for a brief time would be part of that infrastructure bill, how exactly that narrows some of the you know, concerns that you were just discussing there in terms of the broadness and the openness of interpretation that currently exists.
Yeah, absolutely. So there were a number of amendments, but the final compromise amendment that many had hoped would pass yesterday in the Senate better defined and I would say removed people from the broker definition that otherwise it wouldn't really make sense for them to be involved. The largest and sort of most clear category was software developers, people who were paid to write code. They might be doing it for free. Previously, they could be interpreted as brokers themselves. This amendment that did not pass would have given them, would have removed them from this, as well as those running actual nodes, running the network itself for proof of stake and proof of mining networks and other future consensus layer networks as well. So certainly there's many opportunities here for this to still be fixed first in the House. And as you said, there's obviously a chance that a freestanding bill could pass. I think we all know the type of challenges that we face in Congress right now to pass freestanding bills. So I'm skeptical that would be the path forward, frankly.
And we've been so focused, I would say this year, on price movements in Bitcoin and other cryptos, trading platforms like a Coinbase and a Robinhood. We haven't heard a lot about what's happening in the blockchain space, not to the extent we were hearing about it, let's say a year and a half ago. What are some of the new ways blockchain is being used right now?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'd say is, to me, payments and the types of currency movement that you're seeing is really just the tip of the iceberg here. For many of us in the industry, it's really about building something that's entirely new, building an entirely new internet where you can do things you'd never be able to do before. I think we're seeing that emerge first in the DeFi space with new financial instruments emerging that can use blockchain technology, that can benefit from the type of decentralization and peer-to-peer payment systems that exist. But certainly, I think other innovations are happening now as well. NFTs and the ability for creators to set royalties on-chain and to mint their art in some way where they can still retain ownership of it is one huge area of development that we're seeing. I also think there's a lot of movement on the enterprise side. That's an area that Oasis plays in quite significantly, where really you see the blockchain as a way for data and the way that data is siloed to be unlocked and used in a way that you couldn't before. Imagine two hospitals working with each other without breaking HIPAA compliance, for example. So I think we'll see a lot of movement in the enterprise space. And some really cool things happening in enterprise around consumers, both with NFTs and creators as well.
So, Anne, to bring this full circle then, how do you think that the regulatory regime in the U.S. can be most helpful, leaving currencies aside for a moment, just with development of this blockchain world that you're talking about? Is it for them to stay out of the way and not really do much of anything? Yeah. Or are there constructive things that can be put in place that would help the industry?
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying I actually started my career in DC and working on policy and regulation. I'm a strong believer that regulation should play a role in industry. To me, the way I've always thought about it is it should serve as creating the guardrails with which we operate. And regulators, if they do their job well, should be thinking about the public interest, and regulation should identify when you need to create guardrails to keep industries, sort of in line with longer term, broader public interest. What I think that means is having regulations that protect underrepresented groups, having regulations that help set rules for the industry are very important. And one can do that in ways that does not sort of interrupt the industry. I think very specifically speaking for this industry, what we need is consistency. Right now, I think the way that you can interpret a number of the rules and regulations on taxation, on the way the SEC will regulate this industry as well, is very vague and broad. I would say, frankly, it changes like every month. And the types of, that one leads to a huge amount of uncertainty for companies operating in the U.S., and two, just a significant amount of cost spent on understanding this regulation and making sure you are complying with it. I'd say, like any other industry that will face regulation, the ask from our industry is to set clear rules that are consistent and clear so that we all can follow them. To me, what that means is working with people in the industry. I think working with groups like the Blockchain Association and Coin Center, so that regulators first can actually understand the technology, hold hearings on the benefits and the real value of what it will drive from an innovation perspective in the next 20 years, and then setting the guardrails around it, both from a tax perspective, from a privacy perspective. All of that, I think, is very important.
And deceptively simple, perhaps, or seems simpler maybe than it is in reality,
sure.
In Washington, which you know well. All right, Anne, thank you so much for your perspective this morning. Really appreciate it.